Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Nikki Scott.
God is amazing. Yes. We've been singing, "You are so amazing," and I like this. You are so amazing, God. He's just awesome. And in your walk with Him, He not only wants you to stay holy and devoted to Him, committed to Him, keeping the edge on your faith, not letting it drop lower so that we slack a bit. He wants you always up, getting to know Him more and more, walking more and more into His glory, more and more to what He has for you, and to see wonderful things that He's going to do, and He's going to use you. You're part of His big, big plan here. It's like, yeah. Oh, how could God choose little me? But God does, and it's an adventure. And I want us to think God adventure this morning. Okay, in that your walk with Him should be an adventure. It shouldn't be boring every day. It should be exciting. Even if you're just waiting for that thing to happen in a few days, it should be exciting. Because God has exciting things for us.
Amen.
What God does, He's never boring. We might think it is if we step back and don't get involved. But if we get involved, it's never boring. All right? And just turn to Acts 16 for now. Verse 16. And I want to have a look at Paul and Silas's little escapade. Okay? They were fearless. God is raising up a church, His army, that is fearless in this generation. There have been so many Christians in the past that have been scared of the devil. So many people are like, "Oh no, the devil's doing this to me," kind of thing. Oh, I don't go there. I don't pray like that. I might get whacked one by the enemy. It's like, no, who's the victorious people?
Amen.
We are the victorious people, yeah?
Yes.
We're the ones that have the authority over the enemy. He's under here.
Amen.
Yeah? And I like to do this. I don't just teach the kids to do it. I like to do it myself. He's under my feet. That's where He is. I'm the one ruling and reigning in Christ. I'm the one seated in heavenly places in Christ. And whatever circumstance may look in the natural bad, I am still ruling and reigning in Christ.
Amen.
And so are you.
Amen.
Okay, verse 16. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. So, not very nice to be followed by someone who's demon-possessed. I mean, she's saying the same right thing, and, you know, they're following the Most High God, but Paul got fed up, right? I think I would, actually. I might decide not to go there, but again, go another route. But anyway, here we go. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left. Well, we do that, don't we, in church? We do that sometimes in the street. Maybe not quite yet, but, you know, outside of church we do it, yeah? Okay. The owners, remember, she earns a lot of money. The owners, the slave girl, realised that their hope of making money was gone. And they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them there before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Well, if they only knew God, they know it's not unlawful. It's not a horrible custom, but they were obviously deceived. Yeah? So the Paul and Silas are now getting bad accusation. Okay, they've done something which Jesus commanded them to do. Yeah? And yet now, they're in a situation where they've been dragged to magistrates and being told they've done something unlawful. And negative talk, yeah? Negative talk coming out. Their faith then could be belittled and think, "Oh, I'm never going to do that again. Look what trouble it got me into. I'm about to go to jail, I think, you know. What awful thing, you know, following the Lord." It's like they were still fully committed, you watch. The crowd joined in and attacked against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. So not only are they having negative criticism now, yet they are now being physically attacked, and it's being shown that they have done something publicly which is unacceptable to these people. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now they're trapped, right? They can't even try and do a runner. They've got their feet in stocks. Basically means they're going to have to be sitting down, aren't they? They can't get up and pray like this. They're going to have to stay there. Now they could bemoan and be miserable. Yeah, they could sit down. No, where we are, no, what are you going into, Lord? But guess what? They love God so much that they understood what Jesus said about being punished, persecution, that's the word, isn't it? Persecuted for their faith, yeah? You will be persecuted like I'm being persecuted. It's basic because they don't know God, okay? And so they think they're doing wrong. Right, so they're in this still. About midnight, well, they didn't go to sleep, obviously. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. So they're in a cell with others. Now you can see they are reigning in that authority. They are not letting, chit-chat between what you're in here for, what have you done kind of thing, and let any more negative talk. And they're ruling and reigning now. They are singing and they are praising God in that circumstance. They're in prison. Skip jump, if they could. And it's, well... Do you know what I mean? It's like they are now ruling and reigning in Christ, singing and praising and releasing spiritual authority in that place and saying, look, God, now we're here. We're going to praise you anyway. We've done something you asked us to do. Don't know why we're here, but we're going to praise you anyway. We're going to thank you anyway. Give thanks in all circumstances. It does mean even if you're in prison. And I know a lot of us sometimes feel we might be in prison in workplaces or in a situation at home or something, maybe with a friend. We still need to give thanks and praise God, because if we praise him and thank him and we devote ourselves to him, what could God do? Anything to get you out of it. But if you don't, you could be stuck in it, in your little pit of sorrow, and you won't see his hand coming down to lift you out, whatever form that is. Okay, so midnight they're singing and praising him, singing hymns and praising God, okay, and praying. The other guys are listening, and they're not ashamed of the gospel, are they? Because they're singing, despite the others there. So they have learned not to be ashamed of the gospel wherever they are, even if something bad seems to have gone wrong. But it hasn't, because suddenly there was a violent earthquake. I mean, things go from bad to worse. It could be like the ceiling could fall on and knock them all dead, but actually, this earthquake was a godsend, The foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now, they could have made bolt for it. Because we read further on, we find the jailer was actually asleep. So they might have actually just got out just before the jailer's woke up and managed to catch them. But they didn't. They stayed there. Maybe the hole wasn't big enough. I don't know. But it looked like there could have been an escape. There's an earthquake. Their chains have come off. They're freer. But they stayed. The jailer woke up. And when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. They see this. Because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. See, he thought they could have escaped. So, could have been, doesn't say, but there could have been an escape, all right? They didn't, they stayed there. And Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we are all here. It was God's plan that they did stay in. Okay, so whether there was a big boulder that was actually stopping them, that the jailer had to move, I don't know, but they stayed. Whether Paul and Silas knew God said, stay put. They stayed, and they saved that man's life. Not only did they save him from killing himself then, but the spiritual atmosphere had changed because, he says, he called for lights, he rushed in and fell trembling at Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The whole situation has reversed, hasn't it? They praised, they thanked God. They rose up in spiritual authority. They didn't give up. They were committed. They were devoted. They set their face to God. Yeah, they did not shrink back, even in adversity. They carried on. And look what happened. Okay, the building's in a wreck, but somebody's got saved. He wants to know what, why. And he's serious about it. Okay, it's not just what do I do to get saved? He's trembling. He's at their feet. He's calling. Yeah, I need to be saved. This is an act of God kind of thing. God is real. You guys are right. We're wrong kind of thing, okay? Okay, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. So now here's a prophecy, you and your household. He took that because later we find out they are. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house, and at that hour of the night the jailer took them and washed their wounds. He's now serving them. He's washing their wounds from what was done to them by his people the day before. Okay, you will find others will come and serve you when they have mistreated you. But you can only have that when you are in that spiritual authority, in that spiritual realm, and you hold tight to that and don't slip and let them be equal or above you. You can be above them. Okay? The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal. Oh, sorry, I've missed a bit, haven't I? He washed their wounds, and then immediately all his family were baptized. They didn't waste time, did they? They all got baptized. We really, really, really want this, okay? And the jailer brought them into his house, and he set a meal before them. He's entertaining people whom they hate. Comes off kind of thing, okay? And he was filled with joy. We had joy here this morning. But he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. Yeah, God is the joy giver. He's the real joy giver. He's not just a momentary joy giver just because you got a wonderful present that you liked and it made you happy for 10 minutes. He's the real joy giver, whatever the circumstance. And he and his whole family, okay, were happy. When the daylight, I like this bit, when it was daylight, the magistrate sent for the officers to the jail to order, release those men. They've already been released, really, haven't they? God's done it, but they still haven't left the jailer's house. The jailer told Paul, the magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace. Now, the magistrates have said, right, we're going to release them. They could have killed them if they wanted. Because that's what they did with Christians in those days, didn't they? In some countries they do. But they released them. They gave them the orders. So basically they were cleared. They could leave prison. Okay? But there's a twist in this still. God gets his own back still. But Paul said the officers, they beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now, do they want to get rid of us quietly? No! Let them come themselves and escort us out. Oh dear, they've done something to Roman citizens they should never have done. Despite them being Jews, they should never have done it. They're like, head between their hey, or, you know, head between them, what is it? Head down, maybe. Walking out, the officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard Paul and Silas Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. Who's got the upper hand? Paul and Silas have got the upper hand all the way through this. It may not look to like it. They may have endured hard beatings and suffering, but in this whole incident, within 24 hours, they still had the upper hand. They saw that demon go. They saw the prison being released from prison. They saw the prison guard get saved. He and his family. Now there's a Roman guy who's so excited he's going to spread the gospel. Well, you know, I'm not saying you're all going to end up in prison, but the supernatural that occurred because they stayed ruling and reigning in Christ. And in our situations, when we go back to school, when we go back to college, when we go back to work, whether it's, well, some of you have already been at work, there's a lot of us going back into routines that are to do with the school calendar. When we go back, we still need to stay in that place, ruling and reigning in Christ at school, whatever it is, at work, whatever it is. And even if our bosses or our workmates are giving us a hard time, our school friends are giving us a hard time, we need to still stay up there. We need to forgive them. We need to love them. And we need to just stay praising on and thanking God so we see a turnaround in the whole situation. Yeah? Because God will do it. We can't make an earthquake happen. We can't get ourselves out of a prison or trap that we may feel trapped in. But God can get us out, whatever. And God can promote you. And God can make even your workmates who maybe be above you, who are treating you badly, and he can humble them and raise you up. I'm not saying you're in the business of kicking them out, but spiritually you can stay up there and God will honour you standing and for the good and for loving them, because God calls us just not to love him and be devoted to him. Be devoted to each other, because after this, after Paul and Silas got out of prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. It's to do with loving one another and encouraging one another as well. You know, you love God, you love others, but then you also got to love the world, the people in the world that are trapped. If Paul and Silas hadn't spent time to answer that prison guard's question, what must I do to be saved? Oh, well, you put us in here, go, you know, I'm going, I've not got time for you. He wouldn't have got saved. They may not have actually got released either. I don't know. We don't know what God would have done if they hadn't have followed through their commitment to God. But if we stay committed to God throughout whatever, we will see things change. And I'm excited. The supernatural happened here. I'm not wanting my house to shake or my workplace to shake necessarily and fall down with an earthquake and open doors. But I want God to move in the supernatural in my life, not just in healings, not just in seeing the demons, but seeing the enemy in situations flee, because I am the one ruling and reigning. I am the one in authority. I'm like, rah, in his face, and he runs. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I used to hate films with fighting in, and I still don't really like watching films with fighting in, but and God has taught me over the years to realise, you know, those films that you see, a bit like Braveheart and so on, they're like, they've set, they're going to, if I'm going to die, I'm still going to fight it. It's a worthy cause. I'm still going to go. I'm committed to doing this. I'm going to fight this battle, whatever. Yeah, my especially my Aiden is into them, you know. He loves battles. He loves to win, you know. And he's not scared of an enemy, which is great. Because as I was a kid, I probably would have, the enemy said boo to me when I was little, I probably would have run. I've had to learn over the years that I am ruling and reigning in Christ. And, you know, we are a church. We are an army. We are God's army on this earth. And we are not to go and stab people with swords and stuff, but we have the word of God. We have spiritual weapons, don't we, that we fight with. And we are the ones to stare at the enemy, and he's to run just because of the authority. Yeah, we want that authority. But how do we get it? Well, we have to stay committed to God. We have to really, really love him and know we're fighting for a cause that's worth it. Not, well, if I've got a get-out cause, you know, I'll go to church this Sunday, but if it gets too difficult, I'm going to get out, you know, or I'm going to do what God's told me, but, oh, God, this has got too hard now. You've asked me to do something I don't want to do. I'm going to leave it for a few weeks till I've mustered myself out. And then what usually happens is you leave it too long, and then you haven't got that edge that you had when God spoke that one. It takes him to really bring you around till you get back there. We need to stay on that path that God has called us to. And each of us have somewhere in the body that God has called us to, a purpose that God has called us to fulfill, a destiny ourselves. Yeah? We've all got things that God wants us to do. And you can have a list of them for all different areas that you're involved, yeah? God wants you to rule and reign in those areas and be committed if he's given you something. This is the Most High God. The so amazing God has entrusted you with a bit of his plan. And we need to see it through whatever. We need to keep the edge on our faith. We need to keep checking ourselves. Because it's so easy, especially during holiday times, just to get out of a routine and slip lightly and not have that sharp cutting edge on us. And we need to keep that cutting edge on us so that we are ready to stand and like stand and face the enemy and see him run, you know. It doesn't matter how many of us there are, even if it looks like there's more. You know, I like the one about Jehoshaphat. You know, Jehoshaphat, the Old Testament stories, battles are really good just to see spiritually, not that you go out with your weapons on a hillside, but that you can see spiritually what's going on. And Jehoshaphat, although he had a lot less people in his army than the enemies, God told him to go out with a praising army at the front, you know, praise the worship team at the front, and all the army came behind. Now, I don't know what weapons they had, but they didn't need them. And he said, you've got to go and face the army. You've got to go and face your enemy. And that God does call us to face our enemy. We can't run, which is like, could be the scary bit, you know, but we do need to face the enemy. But when they got there, with all the praising they'd been doing, give thanks to the Lord and all this, they got there, God had already set an ambush, and the enemy had turned on itself and killed itself. So when they get to this plane, like, everybody's dead. They didn't even have to fight. I mean, that's a good plan, that is. I like that kind of battle, you know, when you don't have to get blood on your hands and stuff. But you see, God's plans are so, they might seem ridiculous. What, God, there's an army out there with swords and spears and catapults and oil and flaming arrows, you know, and we're so outnumbered. Yet God sends us to do things in a different way to what the world thinks. And yet he wins all the time. Now Joshua, when he met the angel of the Lord before he fought Jericho, well, that was amazing, wasn't it? The wall fell down, just walking around and doing as God said and blowing their trumpet shouting, you know. Nobody could have done that. But God, obviously, yeah. But before they went, the Lord said, he said, the Lord sent an angel. And Joshua said to him, so whose side are you on, ours or the enemy's? And he said, I'm not on anyone's side. We don't have God on our side. We're on his side. And if we think about it that way, which is the true way, then we know that we're fighting and we're winning. If we think God's on our side, well, we can muck up. But if we follow God's plans, His ways, how ridiculous they may seem sometimes, then we will see the victory and we will see that we are truly ruling and reigning here. And we need to take this too, not just for our personal lives, but the life of the church. We have a leader here, and he hears from God, and whatever he says, we need to be just as committed to that. From God, we need to be committed to that. It may get out of our comfort zone at times as we go on into new things. And assure me, it will. It will, I can assure you it will, because like, we can get comfy here. But we're going on, up and up, and our authority is increasing, our influence is increasing. The kingdom is going to forcefully advance. We're not going to wimp about it. We need to be forceful about it. No, this is ours. We're taking it, yeah? We need to get a grip of ourselves and keep ourselves in check, yeah? So that we can just be those people that God loves to say, right, go do this now. And he rubs his hands together and he just waits for us to go, wow, well, in the end, that was quite easy, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, when Jehoshaphat, they had 4 days of taking the plunder back. I mean, that was an easy job. We didn't even have to, you know, face a dead enemy. You know, we don't have to, like, say, get down, I'm going to make sure you're dead. They're all dead. They got all more swords and everything. If they want, you know, their armories would have been filled up. All the plunder that was left from the camps. Amazing. And we are plundering the enemy's territory. Because it's not his. He thinks it is his. But he's come and invaded. Okay? And we need to take over. And we need to go into that kind of aggressive mode. You're not having it. You know how brothers and sisters will, you know, this is mine and I want to play with them. My eyes aren't always like that, but they can be, can't they? There's a tug of war going on. Well, we're going to be the ones that are like, you're not having it, and they're going to be the wimpy one. The enemy's going to be the wimpy one that says, oh, I'll have it. I'll have this and leave me alone. I'm running. You know, it's make your faces if you want. We're all, you know, scary, but all right, so we are not going to be those that shrink back. Can we go to that? I'm looking at these. They're like Hebrews, isn't it? Hebrews 10. And remember, the Lord loves you. He's not doing this to, like, put you through the Olympics kind of thing, you know, training and stuff. We need to be fit. We need to be spiritually fit, yeah? And it's only because he loves us and he wants us to attain the goal that he has for us. Like we want our children to attain the school goal that they need to get for their future. And we want to attain in the workplace what we need to attain to get promotion and to get to the place where God wants us, in the place of influence. We want to attain the place in the church that we need. Yes? We want to keep going. And God loves us so much. And he doesn't just leave you with it, does he? He gives you so much grace. Everything is there for us. It's not like, well, you're going to have to run 10 times around the block this time. And, you know, well, he'll give you the stamina to do it. Whatever he sets us to, always enough grace. And he'll take us always there, through with us. He'll always be with us. If we're doing what he says, he'll always be with us. If we're not doing what he wants, then he won't be. You'll be about, but he won't be right there with us. Because we've left his side. We mustn't leave his side. Okay? Verse 35. Now we know about coming into the holy place with confidence. Coming to before God's throne with confidence. Because we're new creations. And we've been cleansed. There's nothing to stop us. Hold us back. It's like a child coming to her father. Or even their mother. You know, there's no way of stopping them, even in the middle of the night, if they want to go. Yeah, it's that kind of, we can have that confidence as long as we keep ourselves a short account with God and we're following him, yeah? So, do not throw, verse 35, away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Not just children that get rewarded because they're growing up, you know. It's you. It's me. We can be richly rewarded now. Do you want need to persevere, though? Yeah? You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. And for in a very little while, he is coming. He will not delay. Jesus is coming back. And I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. If I haven't gone to glory first, want to be ready. He's like, I'm here, Lord. And he says, yeah, come with me. And he knows me. And he doesn't say, well, you wandered off. You know, he looks at me and he knows that I am his, that I have stayed with him, that I have stayed right by his side, I've been committed to his purpose all the way. Yeah? That he can be proud of me. Yeah? When God can be proud of you, you know, he's like, he wants to reward us. But he is coming. But my righteous one, verse 38, will live by faith. And we know if we live by faith, it pleases God. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. We mustn't shrink back. If we love God enough, we won't shrink back. We spend time with our friends, and we know we need to spend time with friends. We spend time with our family because we need to get to know them. We need know that's what we need. We also spend time with our husbands and wives. We know we need that. Sometimes in busy times, you know, you've been too busy, you need to set extra time aside for these things, for family and for friends, don't you? It's like, I'm seeing friends, I need to see them. That kind of thing, yeah? Well, we need to set time aside for God. And we need to keep setting time aside for God. But it doesn't have to be the same every time. Because it's a relationship. It's not always the same with my kids in the morning. But it's a relationship. You know, they all get up, maybe get up different times or whatever, but it's, I need time. Yeah, I need time with God. But it won't always be the same. You know, school times, different holiday times. And with God, God will take you along an adventure. Okay? It's an adventure following him. Your quiet times, don't think they have to be exactly the same, because they're not always quiet. They can be loud. They can be wacky. They can be in the garden. They can be all the day. It's not... Your time with God is just a relationship. Yeah? And it's walking with him. And as long as you're walking and listening to what the Holy Spirit says, and you're doing and obeying, you will not shrink back. Therefore, you will please God. And verse 39, I'm going to proclaim this over us, okay? And then I'm finishing. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.